We welcome everybody to tonight's call. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. I speak for the Salvador Fierro, Brock Springs, Texas, as he will make it in his own way now and talk to us, Brother Salvador. Tell us about the power of God. Make it plain.
Well, thank you very much, brother, and I want to thank you for the invitation and also to Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call, giving me this opportunity to present the gospel and the power of our God to all of our listeners. I just want to talk about the power of God. The word power is going to be a word we're going to be talking this night over and over again. I hope at the end of this 30 minutes, this 20 minutes or so, you will understand what the power of God is. The power of God in the Greek, it comes in two different words, dynamis and exousia. And dynamis are the words that we translate into power. We tend to only use one word, but it has different meanings. Dynamis implies the power of doing things, actions with great force to create or even to destroy. Exousias brings the authority. It's the other word with that we're going to be focusing mostly this afternoon, this night, that brings the authority bestowed upon, and this, of course, on our Lord Jesus Christ, to have the right over all and to have the privilege of a special position. When we talk about dynamis, the form is what we get in the word dynamite. That's just an explosion, something at times without control, things that will get moved and without their way of thinking or without their will. But we also translate this word into ability, effectiveness, the strength, the wonder and miracle, the power of movement, the signal, the courage. This can help us see the character of this word whenever we see the word power. And this is one of the main things that we always focus and we think of whenever we think of the word power. But in a sense, we also have to talk about the other word, which translates into authority, the law itself, jurisdiction or freedom, and even the power that it bestows. One way we can think of the words, these two words, is just a couple of examples. One to say is the sentence of, a bully uses his power to hurt people. But if we also use the other word, a true leader that has the power to guide and to allow people to be better, and this is even without even touching them, without even being close to them. In this moment, everybody listening through their cell phones or computers, you are going to be exposed to the power of God. Not the power where I'm going to go over there and push you over, but the power into where the Word of God, and if we apply it well enough, is going to pierce through your heart. Our objective this night, as you know, we will see the power that Jesus has, and for what purpose? Why does he have that power? What power does he use? At what time with us? Does he come down and make us do things? Does he use dynamis to work on us? Or does he give us the free will, but with the power, with his authority, allows us to act? And that is one of the main things that I want to focus on. And my first point, subject that I want to talk about here is how Jesus has the authority from on high. On Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, we read, as Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. This doesn't mean that he has weapons to of mass destruction or that he has tools to move us around. No, he has the authority. Even though he will not be touching us physically, he will not be pushing us around or making us do things without our own will, he still has the authority, whether we believe in him or not, whether we obey him or not. The bottom line is, he has the authority. The authority was given to him from his Father. This is because of the obedience that he did up to the point of death. We can see also how he is an example to us about this power. He is so powerful that he makes promises. And we see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, given to us this commitment himself to us and showing his power that if we are faithful unto the end, we will receive a crown of eternal life. Only true power can promise and fulfill those words. And the power that Jesus has, the power that he was given, the power that he works, and this is the power of God that worked in this earth. First of all, I want to say that it's a power that overcomes all sin. Only Jesus has power to forgive sin. When we see in Matthew chapter 9, verse 6, but what ye may know, that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. Then saith he to the sick in the posse, arise and take up thy bed and go unto thy house. Everybody was astonished. Everybody was perplexed about how come this man is able to forgive the sins of a person. Only God can forgive the sins of the people. Well, he is God, and he does have that power to forgive sins. He did it also when he was at the cross, and with that man standing crucified beside him, one of them was unrepentant. The other one had repentance in him, and he was at that moment in time where salvation was still not here through baptism, but through the authority of Christ and that power that he had, and he forgave him at that moment, and he told him, for surely I tell you that today, tonight, you will be with me in the bosom of Abraham. We're gonna be without pain. You're gonna be taken care of. And that is the power that only Christ can promise. That is he's the only one with that authority. There is no other man on this earth that can tell you, I absolve you of your sins. Nobody can say that. Nobody has that authority. Only Christ has that authority. And we see how it is backed up with Jesus, the way that he has the authority even over sickness, handicap, blind, leprosy, deaf, mute. Everybody came to him because they knew that through him they could be healed. And only someone with true authority that can have sickness put away, that can make a man stand up and walk just by saying the word. He didn't even have to be real close by. He could be far away. And the authority that Jesus carried, it was to heal. It was to let people know. When the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, are you the one that we're supposed to be waiting for? Hey, look around. The blind are seeing. The mute are talking. The sick are being healed. You tell me, are this the signs of true authority? Then you wouldn't. And we have to know this because only somebody with that kind of authority can be our Savior. You have to understand that one of the main things that we cannot retrieve is life. When somebody dies, when somebody passes away, we have seen it around us all throughout this couple of years with this COVID, and we have seen death creeping up so close to many of us. But only in Jesus Christ. We read in John chapter 11, verse 14, "Then say Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." Around Jesus, death also came on his friends, on his relatives, on his family. But we have to understand one thing. If he has the authority, the true power that comes from God, then he can do this. John 11, verse 43 through 40 and 44. "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And verse 44 says, and he that was dead came forward." Only he has the authority, the power. Not the power that money brings to buy things. That anybody can have that. Not the power of authority of some people that may be sitting on a chair, that they may be sitting in an Oval Office, that they may be sitting in the White House or in a Purple House or whatever house you want to have. That kind of authority goes away. And it's not perfect. You understand that. I understand that. But whenever we see in Jesus the true authority, even over death, we read in Luke chapter 5, verses 41 and 42, "And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted damsel, I say unto thee, arise." This young lady was dead. But Jesus came and took her by the hand and raised her from the dead. Not with not able to speak, because whenever people nowadays, their brain starts functioning and they bring him back to life, they bring back vegetables. They have to be hooked up. They needed machines to survive. But the power of Christ brings them up, because you read in verse 42, "And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment." Our Lord Jesus Christ has power, and he wants to use it to your advantage. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He understands the sickness around us is overwhelming. But he understands that one day we all are going to die. But if he can understand, if we can understand that he is Lord over death and he has the power over death, we have to understand that he himself can put his life and take it back. John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. "Therefore, both my Father loved me because I laid down my life, and I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down for myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commitment have I raised from my Father." Brothers and sisters, but mainly you, visitor, you that have not yet been having part of the family of God, you have to understand that our trust is not on just an ideal. Our trust is not on somebody that makes promises but then breaks them. Our trust is on that person that has even the authority, that has the power over death. No matter what happens to us, he has the authority over death, even death on himself. We have to understand something very clearly. Power is something that we have to understand exactly what it is. Power is not just dynamism, just going out there and punching things, going out there and building buildings and making things and pushing things around. That anybody can do. But the true power that exousia brings, which is only in Christ, is the authority. Is from that one person that just by saying the words, things get done. We can go back to Genesis chapter 1, let there be light. And what happened? Light was made. And there wasn't even a sun. We think that that should be the first thing that has to be created, a sun to have light. But no, our Lord, the verb, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, was there, and he is the action. He is the authority. Even when there is nothing alive, he brings things to life. Jesus, in our second point in this afternoon, we have to think that Jesus has all power to move and to do as he pleases now and on his second coming. He has the authority, yes, to say and things get done. But we also have to understand, he will not ask us nothing for us to do that he himself hasn't done. He has died. He was in the tomb, but he resurrected on the third day. And he's asking us to do the same things, not in a physical form, but he's asking us to do those things in the water, for us to die to the world, to be submerged, to be baptized, to be completely buried underwater, and then come into a new life. Jesus is on the throne, and he reigns there. Luke chapter 22, verse 69. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. He is telling those Pharisees, he is telling those people persecuting him, you know what? You may destroy in however way you want this body, but me, I will be sitting at the right hand of the power of God. And on his second coming, he is also promising that in Luke chapter 21, verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Not to step on this earth anymore, not to come and eat or drink or be hot or be cold in any ways or hurt or bleed in any ways. He will not do that. He has the authority to do anything and whatever he wants. And he also has the power to do it so. He doesn't have to have an army behind him. He can do everything by himself. Jesus does not use his power to make himself more powerful in a selfish way. He uses his power to help us each and every day. He wants to help us, but we have to acknowledge his power. We have to understand, and we have to give ourselves to him. Even though some people may not want to acknowledge it, or some people may want to question it, that does not diminish his power. His authority is still there. He wants to do something, and he will do it, even if people reject him over and over again. But if we are smart enough, if we are capable enough, we will acknowledge his power. Even if you do not respond to the call of salvation this afternoon, this night. But you have to acknowledge that He has the power, that He is the only one that can save each and every one and every one of our souls. And even though we may not want to do His will at this moment, He still has the power. He still has the authority. We have to understand that He showed His power over nature. Many a times we may want to go out camping and have a nice day, nice and sunny and nice and warm, but it rains. We don't have the authority to change, not even one drop of rain, and stop it and say, don't rain today because I'm going out walking. We have to see that. The storms we see in Matthew chapter 8, verse 24 through 27. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful? Why are you afraid? Or ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? We may shout at the wind and tell it to stop all we want. The wind is not going to stop. But our Lord Jesus had the power to just say, hush. And a whole storm settled down. What kind of man, if we were to see that firsthand, and we were to see the authority that he had over the storm, I'm sure each and every one of us will bow down to him and say, Lord, Lord, here am I. Just going for a walk. Matthew chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straight away Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. And these are the words. The last words in this passage are the words that we need to take to heart. And we have to understand when he says, be not afraid. Yes, COVID has taken thousands and thousands of people away. Cancer, any other sickness. Even when we talk about the storms, the fires, the snow, and all those things that we don't have control over, we have to understand that our Lord Jesus Christ controls everything. He will do everything in our favor. If we live, we live to praise him. If we die, and we are prepared, we die to face him. Each and every one of us has to understand that he is Lord over sickness. He is Lord over everything. Even the physics, scientists cannot explain. When Jesus came and took just a couple of loaves of bread and some fish in Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 6, 44, and Mark chapter 8, and how he multiplied for 5,000 people at one point and 4,000 people at another, and he gave them all more than enough food, and they still picked up extras. We cannot explain that with physics. We cannot explain that with science, because our Lord Jesus Christ has the power that God granted him for him to take care of his people. We have to be clear that everything that is external, he has control over. But let's not stop there. We have to understand that even the internal, our thoughts, our hearts, our plannings, everything that goes through our mind, Jesus can read our hearts. He knows what we think. He knows, even before we start thinking of it, he knows what we are going to think. I know some of you may be parents, and you see your child, and he is walking towards that kitchen, and you know that those cookies, you said those are going to be for dessert after dinner. But he's walking to the kitchen, and he is doing something that you know he's going to do that. He's going to go get a cookie. You don't have to be a mind reader to know what they're up to. But our Lord Jesus Christ has the power and authority even to read into our minds. The Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus told them, "In generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And the scribes, which were there with the Pharisees in Luke chapter 5, verse 22, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he knew what they were thinking. He answered, saying unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts? Why are you thinking those things?" They didn't have to say them. They didn't have to put it out loud. They didn't even have to do faces or make expressions. Jesus Christ knew their hearts. Jesus Christ can have the authority to look into the deepest of our emotions. We may show a happy face on the outside, but our Lord knows we are sad. We may be showing one face, but he truly knows what we feel, what we're thinking. When we are sitting right now here listening to this man speak about the power of God, and we're saying, "Oh, you're just making up things. He really doesn't do that." Well, let me tell you, whether you think it or not, he does. Whether you accept it or not, he does know what you're thinking. He does know your plans. He does know your heart. Even of those people that he chose to be his disciples. In Luke chapter 9, verse 47, and Jesus, perceiving the thoughts of their hearts, he took a child and set him by him. He is going to teach him a lesson. Who is greater among us? Hey, wait a minute. Don't even start thinking about it. I know what you're thinking. Let me tell you something. Bring me a child. Put him here. If you are not like a child, if you do not serve, if you do not think like a child, we have to behave like adults, but we have to be without malice in our hearts like a child. And he teaches them a lesson because he knows their hearts. We have to understand very clear everything that our Lord Jesus Christ is. He is our Lord. He has the power to save us from hell. I know we are running out of time, and I'm going to just breeze through these last passages. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ has the authority to save us from hell himself. We live, we die, then we have a judgment day. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. We have to be going through times and through places. We are going to be in one or two places, depending on what kind of person we are, if one kind of person or the other. We are either going to be in heaven if we are obedient, or in hell if we disobey, if we do not come to Christ. We have to understand, and we know the story of Lazarus, how by doing the right things, by trusting in God, Lazarus was comforted. He was given everything that he needed. But the rich man, he raised his eyes in hell, in Hades, in the place of torment. And he knew at that moment he was not going to go. In conclusion, we have to understand the power of God. We have to understand the two points. In dynamis, the way that we can go out there and fight everybody and yell at everybody and push things around, but we won't do much. We have to go with the authority that Christ has in exousia, which translates to us of that authority with freedom, authority that even though we are his servants, we serve him because we want to. Jesus has all the power. He has the power to forgive our sins. He can heal the sick if he wants. He overpowers death even on himself. He has the authority of power to overcome death. And he gives us also that hope that through him we will be conquerors. You have heard the word of God. At this point, you have heard of the power of God. There is no turning around. You may not trust it. You may not want to believe it. But it exists. It is there. God has given our Lord Jesus Christ all authority in heaven and on earth. For this point, that's why he has sent us to make disciples. We have to help you to believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in the word that you have heard. We have to help you to come to the point where you will repent from your past life. You don't have to tell me because you have to confess, but you don't have to tell me all your sins. No, I don't even want to hear them. Plenty of things I have in my own mind. I don't need any more. But what you do have to confess is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he has authority over you and over me, and that he will use that authority, that he will use that power to clean us all our sins. I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for opening your heart and to try to understand who it is that we serve. We do not serve somebody that can do nothing. We serve the one and only Son of God. And he said later on in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19, that we have to go out there and make disciples of all men, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we want to do with you. And on verse 20, the teachings come afterwards, and then teaching them to keep all these things which I have taught you, and therefore I will be with you until the end of time. He promised to be with us. He has the authority, and he will fulfill everything that he promises. The power of God may be with you. God bless.